We've got a talking boar, which is also known as a funky chicken. So when you only speak when you have the boar, which means between us, we'll try and keep a view on who goes like that to try and make to know which way it goes. But it's going to help if we are all patient and give space to each other to talk. And I think from the beginning we can agree that this forum is a chance to exchange ideas and views. And we don't have to agree. And we don't have to reach any conclusion. I called it like a forum for exchange. Exchange ideas.
To maybe think of it as a launch point, just to clarify or support Robert's notion that this is not, this is a process, not a product. So there's no end result. Hopefully, the issues will go out into the broader community and continue to be debated.
Maybe just to start the ball rolling. I posted those questions on Facebook a few weeks ago now. Did everyone see that?
No.
Not on Facebook.
Not everyone. Okay. Maybe I'll just say them again. But just to give you a little bit of background, they were in response to feelings that have been simmering a little bit inside me, having watched images and video footage being posted on Facebook and other places. And there was one video in particular which was posted as, it was actually named Contact Improvisation, and yet essentially what I was on this video was people on a beach and people swimming and people obviously connecting in some ways, but there was not really much sense of dancing in what I would think of as contact improvisation in this film at all. And the imagery also that was presented in the film was, to me, painted a real picture around the culture that's become a very strong image, I think, of what contact is, and seems predominantly young and predominantly white, predominantly people looking very fit and healthy. And I thought, well, what are these images, what do they present and what do they not present about CI as a practice today? And how does it relate to what I think of as CI? So I put these questions. Is CI a form just for the young, the fit and the attractive? Is CI a form just for white, possibly suntanned people? Is CI form just for able-bodied people, as in people who don't have a disability? Is CI just for straight people, heterosexual people? Is CI a social club for people with enough money to travel and visit festivals around the world? Is CI for those who share a specific fashion sense? Kind of hippie dance fashion. We all like to indulge in. You know, this is just what's in the image, in the imagery. Is CI an international swingers club or a dating agency? Is CI just a good excuse for a beach party? Is CI a form for finding sensual gratification? Is CI a new age cult? New age. We are new ages. And is CI a good marketing tool for eco-tourism? Good way to get people to come and attend an event. So these questions were a little provocative, a little contentious, shall we say? And there's a little humour in there. My intention is not to really point fingers at people and say, you're doing it wrong, because there is no contact police in this community that I'm aware of. But I'm wondering if just by having a discussion we can raise some awareness about what are people's intentions and what is actually behind, sometimes a little bit underneath the surface of the way certain events are being organised, what's behind some of these images that we're seeing. Or is this just one image? And I do say, I mean, I did put in the other introduction, do recent festivals, events that focus on exploring the edges of CI or on spirituality, sexuality, or community building, do these kind of events still have a root? Are they still based in the physical research of CI, the original idea of CI? If not, do they potentially cause misunderstandings of CI? Do they confuse what it is? Is it a problem? Or do they all coexist within the big family of what CI is, which is obviously a broad church? So that's a question. Likewise, does CI still have a role in challenging mainstream understandings of gender, age, sexuality, and who can dance?
Ability.
So there's that question about accessibility as well. Who can come? How do we make things open to people? Join. Well, that's my little introduction. Gambit, so let's...
One thing about I think because the echo is good to close this door, but then it's a question to make to open the but you open the door, then it will create an echo. So maybe better to open better to open windows.
There you can.
So obviously there are a lot of questions in there. It's quite a big field of questions. So this machine here is recording what is being said. But if anyone prefers not to be recorded as they speak, just sort of say off. Make a Michael pause. Yeah? Great. Elena, you'd like to speak. The ball is coming.
And adding to the community, when I started, it was called Dance, Contact, Improvisation. And I really believe in this first word, dance. And I really believe also in improvisation. And my feeling is that nowadays it's more contact. So my question is about where are we going? Are we keeping contact as the main thing? Or do we still gather these three words together? For me, it's an art form, and it's called dance contact improvisation.
I want to apologise, first of all, that I haven't had the time or the foresight to print a response that I made to Robert's comments. For those people who haven't read those on the eSight Facebook page already.
Can you understand?
It seems like a lot of people did read that and thought that it was particularly long and detailed. I don't know, perhaps challenging also. I won't do it now, but I will explain some of what those responses were as we, what should I do? I was simply posting something on Facebook, as I do. It's a terrible thing, and I advise anybody that is thinking of spending more time on Facebook not to do it. But there was one of these pictures of a young woman holding a quotation from Goethe saying, "None are Goethe." Saying something, and I'm not sure about the word falsely, saying something along the lines that none are more enslaved than those who believe falsely that they are free.
Can you say that again?
None are more enslaved, none are more slaves. Are enslaved, made slaves by others, than those who believe in some way incorrectly they are free. And that brought me thinking some of the things that have been brought to contact recently are quite often presented in a way that there's we spoke earlier about the idea of contact, whether it has a radical history, whether contact is something radical. But there seems to be an appeal to a radical nature that should be, or to a nature that should challenge normative sensibilities in some of the ways that contact has been presented beyond what is the history of it, which was problematic for me. Some of those were around sexual exploration. Some of them were around meditative aspects or appeals to meditative practices to give validity, to give... do we all understand validity?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No.
To give... To give worth to make seem correct. Certain things that are brought from outside to contact. those were my concerns. But I also shared Robert's concerns with particularly this film, which for me very much supported a lot of aspects that I thought were not part of contact, in as much as men were represented very much as active and dynamic and strong, and women were represented generally with their eyes closed as very sensual, soft, loving, touching, and And were objectified to my eyes, in as much as that, you know, they were not looking at you, they were there to be looked at. That fits in very much to this whole kind of beach party culture. I think I said enough.
Like that?
Oh,
Suzanne, and then Walter.
So I'm involved in this kind of research since 78. And I stopped during about 10 years, between 89 and 5 years ago. And what I see, it's in the community, for me, not belong to the things I found at first. At first it was exactly to explore with this, to awake, to explore with material, with body and conversation with other people, in a way to have a physical conversation. And now I see the same, about the same conversation between all the people. It's this kind of situation I see passing. It's the fourth time I'm in a historical meeting. It's like this kind of conversation are like a little part here of the ball, and contact, it's more open and completely inventive form. I'm always in inventive form with an old friend I dance with since this period. We are in invention. We are not in a form. It's not a style. For me, now when I see, sorry to say that, but I see like classic ballet. Mm-hmm. I see like a lot of very nice technique, but for me, contact is not a technique, for sure. And I talked with a lot of friends of me involved in contact since a long, long, long time, and it's a pity to see that, because it's the inverse of what we were awake. And probably the process is very natural process. The spirit of an idea, and year by year is a fourth generation of transmission. Mm-hmm. Fourth generation. And it's more and more and more structured and more. And where is the risk? The risk is just to be here and I risk myself. And so, if you want to talk with me, I'm here to talk with each of us about that.
Mm-hmm. So I have three questions, just a question of the answers. My first question is, in terms of what also Susan said, this process, this development of contact improvisation, do we lose something? Is there something in this whole thing that we are losing? Second question is, do we exclude somebody? And third question is there a risk we have to be conscious?
First, I just wanted to say something to this question of the ability. Because there is the dance ability, and I don't know any other dance form where actually there is so much, where also people with handicap and not normal dance bodies do that. So there, the contact is, I think, very much open to all bodies and also all ages.
And its ability is not kind of improvisation.
Yeah, but it's
based on it.
Yes.
But it is something else, actually.
At least it has its own.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't
I,
cross
I,
like
I
this
don't,
because we don't hear you. If you stop answering,
okay, this
you
is
don't
already,
hear.
I don't see contact that. Okay, if you see like that, perhaps it's the next thing I want to say. So I would actually really. I think it's very important that this form is developing, and I think it's good if it changes also, and if there are other, if there are fusions also happening, and also what we do at the moment in our ungoverned group, we also have a discussion about what are the borders of contact, and what is contact, and what is not contact, and what is pureness and what is fusion. Yeah, I think I very much welcome when there is a development and not to hold on that it has to be exactly this and that it's only about weight or, yeah, it's pretty much different.
I had two thoughts. One is that it's quite tricky. Contact improvisation has been developed by experimenting, mixing it with different forms, seeing what's coming out of it. So it's kind of an ongoing process to mix it with other forms and constantly redefine it. So it's a paradigm kind of, you want to keep it clean, but it's coming from a mixture of things, and I feel personally I respond very, very much to wrong labeling of things. Mm-hmm. So if on the outside of the box it's written contact, I expect in the box contact. Mm-hmm. And I just notice I'm responding mostly of something labeled contact and then within science.
Maybe just one thought about I took over the Bremen jam, and there was a tradition to do blind jam, and it was lots of people liked it, the blind jam for 1 hour, and also I liked it the first time. The second time I'm not sure. And it was great because it was very sensual and quite erotic also, and I liked it first time. The second time I was not sure, and then I said, when I organized it, I said, no, I want to change it. I don't do the blind jam, but I want to do it more to lead it into contact. And I took the blind jam, well, I changed it that it really comes more together with dancing. And I think it's to find this balance between, or this transitions where it's, or for me, that's my way, how can I still feel it's about dancing, and what serves the dancing. And when, like, the blind jam was great, and I think it's great to have in society, to have these places where people can meet and they huddle together, and it's nice, and good to have these places, but it's good to name them as if they're cuddling place. It's not, and then it's great, and there are people to do that. They do that, and it's great. I think it's a great invention in our society that there are these places. It's very important, but I think also it's important to label it, or to, that's what I thought. Okay, I want to, yeah, I try to do
that. I also want to bring an example. We have two jams in Vienna, and one started as a music jam, and the other one is the old one on Friday. And after a while, this the music jam, there was more people were coming in actually only for the cuddling, and people could, yeah, never take a class and do not really know about contact. And then a big discussion was happening because out of this. And so also around the people who organized the jam, did the hosting, and of course big discussion about sexuality and cuddling and dancing. And we ended up with that we have a jam on Friday now, which is focused, there's no music, and it's more the pure dancing. And decided, and the other one is open for, yeah, for other things, but still it's also about dancing. So this is something that we also know, that for me, contact improvisation is about dancing. Yeah.
Colleen, do you have a question?
Yeah. Saying, I was just, sometimes people talk about it as if it's a thing, like this is contact improvisation, as if it's an object. But to me, it's kind of it's a living practice and a process. And it's as diverse as the people that teach and practice it. So that's just my perspective. But to me, it's a lot about movement research. So, and when these other things happen, my only concern is that exactly what you guys said, that we're clear about, that the people that are doing that are clear. And if they're not, then that's something to learn as well. So it's not to make anybody wrong, but this is all part of the dialogue and the learning of how this is all moving. And this I found, and it's from the newsletter for Contact Improvisation from 1998, and it's quote, Katie Dimmick wrote it.
What?
And it's it's like Contact Quarterly, but the UK version, which doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I just opened it up, and it's really, I can print it so people can read it, but it speaks exactly to what we're saying, and it's just fascinating that we're still having the same things, and years ago it's like right here. And it says Steve Paxson was wisely reminding us that all these mind-body thoughts are peripheral to CI. CI is the interaction between two psychologies. This is Steve's words. It's not, for example, the issues of sexuality or mixed ability, which CI engenders legitimate discussion about. These issues come forth because the container that CI creates around the interactive dance experience is non-hierarchical and non-sexist. That's Steve's words. As Lisa Nelson said, the touch words evolution underlines contact improvisation is beyond the grasp of mainstream cultural thinking and categories. It's on the edge in a liminal space. So that's what they were saying. So she's Adani skipping, but for as long as there is space to slip and be mistaken, the environment that contact improvisation creates around it will engender open exchange between people. So I don't know, we can maybe copy this and put it up. I don't want to read the whole thing, but like, it's really well said. So we're like, this is awesome. So I'm just sort of offering that.
Can you read it again, please? Sorry, just the
I don't, do you want to take time to do that?
Let's put it on the wall.
Just, yeah.
We haven't really got so much time. Yeah. Pass it on.
Yeah,
let's
just
go
pass
around.
It around. It just, we can share it.
I think this is mainly referring to Jonathan, and I received an email. I blocked out Facebook, so I couldn't see what you put there specifically. I received an email that might have contained part of that, and it was a continuation of the discussion. And as far as I remember, it was directly referring to touch and play. And I was
sorry.
Too fast. Sorry.
A bit louder and a bit
slower. Okay.
Yeah. Articulate.
I was very heartened to hear you say that CI was about awakening. And for me, touch and play has been tremendously awakening, and I think that I just want to put in a
an encouragement for a discussion about touch and play openly, because I think it is having quite a big impact on quite a few people, and within the CI community, especially within London, I hear there's rumour and a stigma building around it. But for me, it's been about awakening completely. I realise a lot of people haven't heard touch and play now. I've said this. I think CI is a continually evolving thing. So whether Steve Paxton says it's this or that, I think it's for the people that are still doing it to continually decide. Yes, that's it.
Right. So how long there was?
A really welcome provocation, but I think it would also be like each week I teach a group of adults with learning disabilities contacted by I really welcome the provocation, but I think it would be easy to overemphasise the impact of the images that are seen on Facebook or like one particular festival that was just mentioned. And that there's a massive amount of people dancing contact improvisation in small towns and cities all over the place, or maybe not even in towns. And each week I teach a group of adults with learning disabilities contact improvisation, and I'm sure it's the case with lots of people here, and that the contact improvisation that we teach and take part in on a kind of regular basis isn't represented in the pictures that you might see online. But actually, if it's really happening, and that's where that movement research is really happening, then the picture's not as bleak or as sunny as those pictures might make it seem. And that what I see is groups of people of really widely differing age, experience, physical ability, getting together and doing this movement research together. Maybe not. There are places where that isn't happening, but there's lots of places where that really is happening.
I was distracted about the
I was passing from it's a banking car.
I had different phases that I went through dancing and living contact. Like, it met me at the university, and I danced for 4 years, and then I went to Freiburg for the first time. And in university, was like, wow, this is exactly the thing, the gap between martial arts and the dance forms that I had done before, which I was like somehow looking for, the missing link. And arriving in Freiburg, it was like, whoa, what the hell is this? Like, there was a clothing style, there was a nutrition thing, there was people traveling just doing this, and I was like, yeah, it blew my mind. And several years and festivals later, I went to Ibiza for the first time to contact festival when no one spoke English. And I was like, again, like, whoa, people live in tipis and all these things. And contact brought me there. So, and yeah, and then some years later, I went to touch and play two times, and again, it was like really cracking my mind and opening questions about society, about my habits, about judgments, and I learned so much going there. And like, I feel like in every phase of my life, I learned something different from contact. And as I am changing, contact is changing. To me, it feels very natural. And the fact that I don't post my two weekly classes on Facebook is just that I think the worldwide community should not be interested in this. You know, like, I try to reach my people in Munich, And this is what I try to spread the word. And so what is on Facebook, like, if you put much importance on Facebook in your life, maybe then, if there is a certain picture or a certain movie, it might affect you a lot. But the less I use Facebook, the less it affects me what happens there. So it's just for me important to spread what I love. So it's not so important what the image of contact is. I just try to live it.
Yeah, I think this is another generation coming up now. You explaining how you first learned contact in the university, and now there's a new generation coming, first learning contact in a way in the festival, in these special festivals, are how they are presented, and that concerns me in how is contact presented in that way. It's not only Facebook. That's totally true, like you don't have to look for Facebook for that, but also it's I will have to deal with it while dancing with them, because they are saying that dancing contact, and it's completely different from that, what I experience, what is contact. That's my concern also.
I think there is a new generation coming. We probably learn first contact, and then we get known internet and Facebook. And those people I see now, they first learn Facebook and internet, and then they meet maybe internet and contact. So, for example, in Brazil, Facebook is everywhere, and the content which is constantly exchanged through Facebook about contact improvisation, it's amazing and also a little bit scary. So there is a new communication way in comparison to 10 years ago. And I think those people organizing places for contact improvisation, they have quite a big responsibility to create the space for the dance form, for referring back to what you said, dance, contact, improvisation. And I think there's a lot we can influence by creating the spaces. For example, a local jam or a class.
What I'm saying now, I haven't really thought through entirely, so I'm developing the thought while I talk. I'm sort of discovering that this is a matter of labeling mostly.
Mm.
Coming from contemporary dance, I heard exactly the same discussions. What is release technique? What is modern dance? Well, you know, these discussions are identical. So I think it's just very unlucky, without judging the word unlucky, that Steve Paxton didn't call his thing Steve Paxton technique. He gave it the name what in the contemporary world is contemporary dance, and there's so many things happening under the umbrella of contemporary dance. And he named his thing what now is used as the broad umbrella, and I think that is the main problem. Maybe.
My name is Malcolm. I live in Finland. And my observation is that I feel that the rolling point of contact, which I experienced as an exercise amongst, has become almost the form. And I love the rolling point of contact, but I also love to play and improvise. And I just felt really sad at some point because I was told that I was dangerous to dance with, and some people refused to dance with me for some years in my local community. And for me, and then I asked why, because these people know me and they know that I teach very, very slow classes. Even if I dance like a crazy fucker, I dance like a crazy fucker because I do really slow classes, so I feel safe. And then what the criticism leveled at me was, you interrupt my patterns. It wasn't exactly that, but that was essentially what they were saying, was that I was dangerous because I interrupted people's flow.
Yeah.
And for me, this was very interesting because what Suzanne said at the beginning was, I felt this, where is the improvisation? So I feel like I'm really open to all sorts of, I mean, people that know me and have danced with me know that I'm open to many different possibilities. But I feel like the core of the training that I received in many different ways, in different places, was prepared me for that. And so it's a paradox. I observe this paradox, and in a way, this privileging of this privileging of the rolling point of contact, and there's a sense of elation. And I remember this from my, after I was dancing for 3 years, then I felt like I had those flying skills. But then the question is, what happens next? And the happy ending to this is those people who refused to dance with me now like to dance with me. So it does shift. But this was my. But then I really echo with this for me that the, just to keep the improvisation, and I'm sure we all do, but that for me was the thing to keep the playfulness and to separate the training exercises from the practice itself. And for me, it's really interesting also to observe which exercises people continue, or, and which exercises get dropped. And I remember studying from Stephen, I see some exercises which I very rarely see taught, and they're the ones that tend to not look so pretty. And I am conscious also that we live in a different age, and that's and the privileging of the visualizer. It's funny because, am I talking too much? Or can I say one more thing? It's just really interesting because a lot of people talk about how the popularization of video was a really big shift in the culture. And actually, I think for me, because I'm old enough, which is a bit strange to say, but true, I'm old enough to remember, I think desktop publishing really changed. Because I went to a Tricia Brown exhibition in London last year, and the posters for her events in the 60s and 70s, if you put those up now, nobody would look at them. They would receive no recognition. And I think I feel like I really observed, I mean, when mobile phones came, that was one thing. Internet came, another thing. Facebook, another thing. But actually, people being able to typeset and output flyers has really changed something. In my work group, Mike said something about anthropology. Where is it?
Yeah.
And I was interested to hear more. And I remember Steve saying, I've witnessed in 1990 or something, him saying, I've witnessed reality change. Mm-hmm. And then I just feel like, oh my God. I didn't know what he was saying, but now I feel like I really have. Sorry, who's this?
Peter's
no.
Peter.
You sure? No?
I'm pointing at him.
Oh. So who's somewhere over here?
So no. Put the technique, Steve technique under the umbrella contact of contemporary dance. Because the main thing was important that Steve was not here in the pyramids. Now he's here because the people put him in the top of the pyramid of contact improvisation. But Steve is here in the same level we are. And it shows a kind of be an adventure woman or man. and he don't show other than the way. It was in the same time with John Cage and all this kind of Zen intuition. And it's not, and now people put him here. No, it's not here. So it's not Steve Paxton technique. It's a paradox. And it's what is completely different. I have a background in contemporary dance and classic dance and tap dance and jazz dance and all and all and all and all. But it's not the same way to it's not learn and teach and teach and learn. It's be active.
The idea of invention, I completely embrace. It's been also my experience of working with the pioneers of the form of contact.
Yeah, louder.
Louder, mm-hmm. Sorry. But for me, the extraordinary research that went on in that time and that's continued to evolve was very, very detailed. And I think there's an incredible richness in it, which I gained an enormous amount from, and I like to offer that in my teaching. And for me, I call this the clarity. In the practice of improvisation, one of the underpinning things that I enjoy about the work is this balance of clarity and openness. So these really profound underpinning physical principles in a constant duet with invention, for me, is the beauty of the work. And this is what I like to pass on. And I think those principles do have like a soft container. I think they're in a membrane, a very porous one and a very soft one, but nevertheless a membrane. And I worry a little bit that that membrane could stretch to the point where it pops. And then there's a concern, particularly for the new generations of contactors. And I also have a slight concern about if we don't track the history of the work, that people in English we say reinvent the wheel. I see in some people's publicity that, for example, I'm sort of quoting, we all know that contact rarely travels through space. And in this workshop, we will teach you how to do that. And then in my head, I have 25 years of wonderful images of labs that were exploring that, and virtuosic contactors doing jumper catch and faller and charging through the space. And that's a personal frustration. But more importantly, I then worry that younger generations of contactors are missing that, assuming that that hasn't always happened. And Mary Prestige sent with me as a kind of gift to Colleen as part of her research the mini source book taken from Contact Quarterly that was put together for the second European, the second Essite. And we have that with us, and I think we've got five copies now available. Or?
Not yet.
So we have that with us at this conference, and that's I think a very good thing to browse through to see this history unfolding. There are many very, very good and interesting articles in it.
Yeah.
It's Peter first. I mean.
Thank you.
I feel really very present in the moment, but I sort of start thinking ahead of time, wondering like what will happen when for the people who were there first, when they die, just to mention that, to see that, that in the heritage, what will happen after those people who have the first word sort of are not there anymore. And wondering like what heritage do they leave, and then what do we have now, and what do we leave, or what's visible, sort of like aren't the loudest voices being heard, and what about those not being that so loud, and just wondering like how that is this dialogue.
Thank you.
I have two questions. I myself, I like to go to France.
Can you speak to everyone?
I myself, I like to go.
The train.
I have two questions. I myself, I like to quote Steve Paxton, Nancy Stark Smith, sometimes defend even these souls. And my question is, do I use that when it fits me, when it fits my concern? Do I quote the openness when it fits my openness? Do I quote the things which are queer because it fits me? And the second one is about sexuality. You can also take the first one to that, because for me it's a theme I am astonished where it goes, how far it goes, wherever it goes. When I hear that in Berlin, there is a kind of, I've not seen that before, maybe it's wrong, a kind of a charm, naked, everything is allowed except entering body parts. Maybe it's just a rumor, maybe I have heard something which is not. So, the second question is about sexuality. Where is my focus when I dance? Contact improvisation.
It's more an information than a statement. There's a very nice article that was written by Nancy Stark Smith about, I think it was in Freiburg, they asked her to give a conference, and it is on internet, and she really is stating about how it started and what it is. And I think a very important thing is she's saying that between Lisa, Steve, and Nancy, they decided we don't want any schools. Mm-hmm. We want people to be aware here and now of what they're doing. And I like very much this idea. There's no school for contact, dance contact improvisation. It is where you are, and be aware of what you're doing. And I really enjoy this idea.
Ivona, then you ask, okay?
Yes.
And then...
It could refer to some things already were said. Every evolution, it's spreading. It could spread one stream, it could spread any direction. For me, the question is if it abbreviates from the roots or the origin, or is the prolongation of that. And then the labels will come, and they are real name of that coming out of roots, or this is just label which is flower?
Could you just say that last sentence?
Yeah. Like, what is the label and what is the real name? Like, is this connected to the roots, or this is just attached to something and that is not belonging there?
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got two here. Is it? It's Justin. Okay, my name's John.
I'm just thinking when you ask some question about the contact interrelation, you use what is quite
a lot of
My friend Justin, I'm Bastian. I'm not connected on Facebook. I think you use the present when you ask some question. What is? And for me, it's really important because it's present, it's now. It's not what contact improvisation was or what contact improvisation will be. It's what is now. And for me, CA is something about the power of now and on this moment of now. There is a possibility for creativity, artistic expression, freedom, I don't know, maybe love. And for me, sexuality sometimes is the same. You are present. You are in love.
It seems, well, first of all, it seems to me an inescapable fact, historical fact, that Zen is being practiced in East Coast America at a certain point had an undeniable influence on the creation and inception practice of the Sia. What I think is significant, however, what I think is not simply a historical accident is this notion of gravity being fundamental to CI, our relationship to gravity. It seemed to relate very strongly to me to Peter Rolfe's notion that gravity is our first relationship and that all of our relationships are formed through an expression in gravity. And so there is something fundamental that is not simply a historical accident in that. It's not simply that we're going back to something because that's what was said then. This is something fundamental to us. And the one thing that it seems to be agreed in the discussions that I've had here so far is that most people have seem to want to hold onto the notion that CI can be or should be a process of research. And whether and the openness and clarity that you spoke of seem to me to require a space and a silence that is somehow that is the concern that brought perhaps me and Robert to expressing a worry that there were distractions being offered instead of clarity, a space for clarity. That openness isn't simply a place to fill, it's a place to empty, that we can then know what we do, that we then can research and find something. And I think this is both open enough to embrace other things without losing the fundamental, and specific enough to say that perhaps if your concern is not to have an aspect of reflection or contemplation in some sense, going back to the Zen relationship. that perhaps it is something other. And just one thing about Facebook, I just think that perhaps us all here should perhaps, because I heard a lot of people saying that we don't advertise the normal things we do. But actually that's an abdication from of an engagement from a whole world, you know, that as you said, lots of people have said, that is many people's world now. You know, those representations exist. If we want to engage with the world, we need to engage with those and represent ourselves there.
So, Barbara, was it?
One thing I noticed at the festival 2002, we invited Daniel Lepkoff for the festival, having a history talk as well, and he was talking about branches which enters the contact now, and he doesn't feel like that the real contact, how he learned it, is presented anymore in 2002, and now we have 2012, so it's already another, for me it's another generation now already, and also seeing that, bringing it to the east side, seeing that the people on the east side are changing, and seeing like question coming up, like what we are going to do on the east side, what should be the content of it, was questioning a lot last year. How we go on. I'm also curious about that, in that thing which is related, what we are practicing and what also do we teach and what do we want to share. This is just like, it will go on, but it's something I also like, history, and we are already, I feel like, doing something else than the original people did, but still we're trying to find and define it, and we are doing it. I also think it's not only diversity, it's also like we are getting up there. Bringing up that theme now makes it, for example, for me also more clear to define it, what it is. Just to say also the history talk of Nancy and of Daniel Lepkoff, and we have another one, Nita Little, on DVD, and we sell it here just to let you know.
So we've been talking now for nearly an hour. So I don't know how long we want to extend anymore. I wonder if we give space to our voices that haven't spoken yet, if there's anyone who would like to say. Do you want to give me another 10 minutes, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
10? No, it's all very interesting. I was thinking, but now it's over 20 years when I'm dancing contact improvisation. I don't feel that I own contact improvisation. I'm open to the idea that it develops, as much as Julio was saying, you know, I'm changing and culture is changing, contact is changing, and probably it was also the idea of Steve to let it change, otherwise he would have put out a school. At the same time, I think that we are talking about something that is not verbal, and as soon as we get into a jam, we can see what contact is, can we? I mean, if we go downstairs and we start doing contact like we did last night, we can see what contact is.
So it's something then?
No, it's something quite.
Let's put it on Facebook.
Just wanted to ask something about the name. I think it has a lot to do with naming, with using a label.
Because for me it's very natural that the form can evolve and try and see what it is, and this is lively, this is creativity. If it's too much hold, it's difficult to create. But for me, my concern is when we try to say, this is contact improvisation, and I know what it is. And it looks like there are like different schools or different styles merging, different types of festivals. And I'm very happy also if people can really grow and travel and see, okay, there is this kind, maybe In Touch or Touch and Play and Freiburg, and what is my style? And I'm also happy if people can get aware that there are really different styles, and maybe it's good to keep on this conversation going on, and so that we know what is really the essence of contact improvisation, what should be the minimal inside, so that we can say this is contact improvisation, and maybe let some under label emerge, like this is this kind of school, which is a specific school of contact improvisation, so that it's still possible to do different styles, and we don't begin such a fight.
Okay. Thanks. Leah?
I have more like kind of a thought I just, or an image I just had, and I was just thinking about music, and I was thinking about classical music, and I was wondering what a like rock and roll came later on, and what a like we still have music that was developed and created in another time. And I wish this in any, for me what learning history of is that there is a root and there is things that that are created, and then there is also being brave to take the risk to go away to create something that will define itself as another color or another form, and at the same time respecting that we have a past behind us and we have a trait behind us, and then this is a choice we do, how we relate to the traits, and also what access we have to these traits. I can say I started to dance at 10 years ago, and I got family into the form. I didn't even know it was contact. I was 15 and I got to dance, and they was working with physical contact, and then I discovered dance. It was so big for me that I didn't realize there was this wood in it. And then I went to my first jam and I felt really familiar, and then I went to my teacher and I told her, wow, I discovered this great thing, and she told me, yeah, I was doing contact improvisation for 10 years. but I didn't culturally relate to understand this, but somehow this was my history to contact, and I think also like there is something for me like this, like it's very rich that also depending of where we enter in the history we also build another trace. And meeting different experiences of these traits is for me very enriching. That's quite interesting.
Marcus, and then it's Kim.
I want to say the same Mariela just said. So I think it's great that if each teacher teaches from his or her passion, and he's good for some people, and they're great. And I also, I know some, I tried some teachers, I know which teacher, if I want to get this information, I go to this teacher, this person, or this festival, I know, okay, this festival is more spiritual, this festival is more technical, so I think this is also a great way to really that we can choose.
To Kim. Oh, no, Kim was next to the book.
And then Benno is coming back.
I hope this isn't just saying what has been said before, but from the rich discussion so far, there's this place in your question of what is contact now, and the conversation of not what it was in the past, it's not what it will be, that brings me also to the thought that CI, what we do, what we're doing in our improvisation, is not the image of improvisation. The image that's out there will never be what contact improvisation, what our research, what our experience actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Just like those images out there, they don't look like my dance community at home, who I dance with on a regular basis, which is mixed bodies, mixed ability, queer people, straight people, all those things. That image will never match what our experience actually is. And that's part of the beauty of doing this empty, open space research, stepping into the emptiness of it to keep practicing, to keep practicing. And as we practice, it changes, and we change in the practice. It's the place in contact improvisation that I love, that it holds these contradictory experiences and ideas, and that's what makes it big enough for all of this to happen.
Mm.
It's the piece that I keep coming back for.
Mm.
I had various thoughts. I tried to make it clear. First thing I thought it's important to see that actually also in contact, but also for me, the moment is the most important. So what is now? It's not so much what's tomorrow or what was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I thought, okay, I hear lots of worries about the future. How could contact evolve? Or maybe people misunderstand something, get the wrong thing. So bring it back to the moment. At the moment, my perception of contact is a good one. So, and the other thing is, if I travel with it, like for example, if I see in the Catholic Church, let's say my opinion of how it developed is that Jesus, if he really was living, brought up a very important thing for some people at that time, and there was a lot of resonance. And throughout the last 2,000 years, people made something else out of it. So it changed and changed, and today we don't know what he was really teaching. Some people, through the whole system, felt that there was some, what was the origin? And I think the same as contact. So the question is, now we are here. Yeah, now we are here and seeing that it changes in a way maybe we don't like. We can't refer to and think it's going in the wrong way, but we're still alive, we're still here in contact to what we think what contact is. And so I think we have to just to live it in the moment, and how it will be in the future we don't know, but for sure I think it will be in that way. Contact is a form that people who live can express their themes in the contact. So for me it's fine, however it will be.
Alright, let's go to Dan. Just we only have a couple more here.
Okay. So I think I'm going to refer to Jonathan again and Benno. I had the privilege of being in Angela Donin's workshop recently, and for me, she was a Dharma teacher, and she is a Dharma teacher. And Dharma is what the Buddha taught, and Dharma is the teaching to awakening. And the Buddha said, whatever anybody is teaching, if it's leading to awakening, this is his teaching. That's all that matters. And then throughout the centuries again, schools became instilled, so institutions came in. And Zen came about to counteract an institution, so to kind of free it up again. And then Zen became an institution, and it still tries to free itself up, but it's a label, it's a name, and it's, in a way, it holds the potential. It's this kind of porous membrane that hopefully can still hold the potential for people to awaken, but also it does limit as well. It kind of puts people in a certain stream. And there's something about this kind of people might have been talking about as fetishizing the rolling point or something. But what I've seen with the rolling point and people that are refining it is that they're practicing something really, really intricately. They're really going into it. When I first saw it, I thought, what are they doing? They're just doing that. That's just so kind of unopen and un-CI. But when I joined into it and became complicit with it, there was flight there. There was something that I hadn't experienced before, that there's a poetic kind of idea of flying, and maybe it's possible to actually fly through still, I don't know. But it seems like it is sometimes. And so, wrap it all up. Sorry. Yeah, I think there's total validity in wanting to not let our teaching escape, to not let what we've all experienced as showing us some freedom escape and to kind of get lost. But at the same time, if somebody's teaching something that awakens, and I think that does mean embodied, so it relates to gravity, you have to have gravity with that. But whatever it is, absolutely whatever it is, if they're coming into an awakened body, for me that touches on what CI is, and call it CI, call it whatever, but this is what we're trying to do here.
It's a
bed.
It's a bed.
So I help myself in discussions like this where it's getting confused or losing agreement, that I'm looking for a kind of smallest common agreement what could contact improvisation be, and hopefully we will find something like the smallest common agreement, and in case we would find this, I have my personal one, but I don't need to discuss this. I would propose the idea that everyone agrees with this sentence or whatever kind of stretchable definition, and he gave his personal color into it. If someone has a movement history of making Aikido for 10 years, he will have another dance color than someone who has never danced before, or someone who is trained in Tantra, he will have another way of dancing contact. But we all gather in a jam, and we have to subscribe this kind of common agreement. And this is always this idea of labeling. But I think it's nice when we have we shrink it to less and less and less. But then we find the root or the seed or something like we all agree in. This is what I hope. It's possible.
I'm seeing three more.
Should I make them the love of three?
Yeah.
Just to address the representation, if you want to create something else, go for it. If you see something you don't like, respond to it.
Just say again, I love the rolling from the contact.
Say it again.
I love the rolling from the contact. I like diversity. Also, I just wanted to say, I love the way things develop, and I thought you had something really interesting to say. And things are not how they were in the 90s. I really miss the drug taking. And maybe I'm not going to the right festival. And maybe someone could put me right quietly. But I do miss the drug taking. And it is an unwritten thesis, PhD thesis, the importance of mind-altering drugs in the development of contact improvisation. We talked a lot about sex, nobody's talked about drugs. I just raised that.
No, you have.
I'm okay with that. I don't want to be misunderstood.
I like simplicity, and I have one main criteria if things are interesting me. If a jam is interesting for me, or a dancer, or pictures, is when I see that somebody has to offer something, to give in something, I'm very much interested. When I see people are coming to get something out of it, to fulfill their needs, then I'm getting all kind of... For me, I too often see people coming to a jam in order to get something out of it, and then the jam is really dull. When there are people coming and to offer something, I offer my presence, I offer my practice, I offer my curiosity, I have a great jam. And I'm very interested in all this tantra thing also. I do tantra workshops aside. And for me, specifically when it's about sexuality, for me the big question is, do just people want to get something out of it? Just to fulfill their need? Or is there really a research, is there really an exploration in the whole thing? So, and when I see this picture that you mentioned, I often see more the neediness or the fulfill needs. Mm-hmm. That is not bad, but the thing is why to still call it contact improvisation.
Leo has been bursting over there as well, so can we go on one? He's a last concise winding up.
I've been listening to this discussion for a bit more than an hour. And the good thing for me is that it made me take out my notebook and write the paragraph starting with the words contact improvisation for me is. And so the first thing is a kind of an invitation for each of us, maybe to take a minute afterwards and make a paragraph starting with contact improvisation for me is. Maybe I would share what I wrote. It's in Hebrew, but I will translate. So contact improvisation for me is a place of meeting, listening to myself and to the other, play, a place to mistake, a place to to shine, to be beautiful and ugly, sometimes at the same time, to be different, a place to forget and remember and re-remember, to learn about myself, about the world around me, about my life, about a way to live my life, a place to meet, to dance, to find the dance inside me, to find movement, to let go what is unnecessary, to bring in new possibilities, to learn, to enjoy, to laugh, to fly, to fall down, to get soft on the outside and on the inside, and to play.
Amen.
I think this might be the very last. No,
I was just, it was kind of responding to your, it was kind of little, maybe, responding to your drag stuff.
Why is
I was wondering when we do contact and we work with gravity and being disoriented, getting all that physics working, do we really need the drugs?
Yeah. It is a drug.
On drug notes, I'm offering a lab. It's not about drugs. It's about holotropic breathing, which does create some kind of light altered state, and exploring that with contact. So maybe
oxygen
and meditation.
Explain the drug.
Holotropic breathing.
I think it's not
just kind
of
zip that up.
We dance.
Let's do it.